Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready for the most anticipated literary event in the South. African Men for the Move Book Club presents the ABC National Meeting, catering to the best-selling and independent artists on a national level. Readers, get ready for up and close and personal contact with today's most prominent artists. The ABC National Meeting will have book signings, book lovers' breakfast, artist speeches, workshops, author interviews, a neo-soul players' night, and introducing the ABC Award Ceremony, honoring some of today's most achieved workers in the literary world. Do not be the last one to register today. Visit us at aabcnationalmeeting.blogspot.com and vote for these year's nominees at aabcvoting.blogspot.com. The ABC National Meeting will be held June 13th through the 14th of 2009 in San Antonio, Texas. A Southern literary event you must attend. See you there.
Welcome everyone on to yet another segment here on ABC Radio. We're going to be speaking with some of the authors who are on Authors with the Passion book tours. And I'm really excited for you guys to get to know some of them. The whole purpose for doing this showcase is so that you guys can get to know them a little bit more better. You get to know a little bit more about the book tour group and some of the events that are going to be happening. And so I'm really excited for these authors to get on and tell you guys about some of their works and some of the things that they're working on individually. So we're going to go ahead and bring the first caller on. We're going to allow each author to come on about 15 to 20 minutes per author. We're going to speak about their journey, why they joined Authors with the Passion, what they expect from Authors with the Passion, some of their future projects and things like that. And we're going to go ahead and get started with the first caller who's calling from area code 770. Who am I speaking with?
Patricia Richardson. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Patricia Richardson, y'all. Patricia was on the show a couple months back. I want to probably say August or something like that. And I have to say that Patricia's novels are one of my favorites most recently. I want to put her up there, how her books kind of resemble Marilyn Monroe to me. I think that she's pretty much worthy of having been at that level. So I really am excited to have Patricia on the tour. So, Patricia, I'm going to turn it over to you so you can let everybody know a little bit more about you and pretty much go from there.
Okay. First, I want to congratulate you, Tamika, on your title, The Ultimate No-No.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Is that correct?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
I ordered it. I can't wait to read it.
I can't wait for you to read it either, Lord.
I can't wait to receive it. I know you're excited. I'm excited about everything. For those who don't know me, my name is Patricia Richardson. I'm the author of A Place for Ida and the sequel, A Time for Jonathan, The Place for Ida Saga Continues. And my recent release is Deeply Hidden Desire, which is totally an erotica. The other two are dramatic fictions. A little bit about me is I had a strong desire to write ever since, as far as I could remember, as a very, very young child. But after being married and divorced and raising my children and going to school to better myself and to help my children have a better life, I finally had a chance to do me.
Right.
So I'm just pleased to be a part of this group. I think your group is awesome, and awesome with a passion is just so great. You know, because as a self-published author, as an individual, there isn't much strength. People really don't want to pay you that much attention. But, you know, as a group of African-American authors, you know, going out, we can show that we really, 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 really have talent as authors and can show our strength. My books, I will talk about, or I'll read a little bit about, I'll give you a little synopsis on my latest release, and then I'll kind of like work backwards a little.
I haven't had yet to read the latest one, so I'm a little bit curious to see what and this one is around.
Yeah.
In the dramatic fiction that you had, those books, I mean, it did have some sex scenes in it, and I mean, because you do definitely have a detail for it, so I'm kind of curious, so.
I can say that. And I'm going to read a little synopsis from it right now. It starts as, Tara has a problem, a very big problem. You wouldn't think so to look at her. She's gorgeous from her lean, well-formed legs to the bronze shimmer of her complexion. But what made most men stop to stare were those thick, full, rose-colored lips. Yet Tara has a problem. She is madly in love with Kendrick, who takes days to return her calls, who pays her less and less attention, even as sex is becoming routine. She has just gotten her first job as a registered nurse, but her boss, Dr. Conrad, is incredibly sexy and clearly interested in Tara. And then there's Michaela, Dr. Conrad's secretary, is attractive, aggressive, and in love with Dr. Conrad. And naturally, she hates Tara, and Michaela is in a very good position to sabotage Tara's work. Should Tara try to work it out with Kendrick, and surely it's best not to get all Michaela's bad side Dr. Conrad's skin is black as a starless night and as smooth as a baby's behind. And the smothering glances he sends Tara's way, well, she just starts to melt away. Deeply hidden desires will hold you spellbound as you travel with Tara through heartbreak. Forbidden desires, the ecstasy of love. And don't miss this exciting offer.
Now, my two favorites, and I'd still be thinking about these books. I don't know, because they just seem so real. It's like you were drawn into these books. And I really just want you to tell the listeners about A Place for Ida. Because I don't know, I love that book so much, because the author, Mary Monroe, is one of my favorite authors. You know, she's a New York Times bestselling author, and I honestly had thought, because I know this book to me just was like on the same level as how God did her book, God Don't Like Ugly, and God Still Don't Like Ugly, and God Don't Play, all those books. And it's kind of like, because your book takes place in the 60s or something like that. I believe the 60s.
That's correct.
Mhm. I don't know. It just resembled those books so much, and it was just such a good read. I really want, you know, listeners who yet have not been convinced on how good this read is, just for you to, you know, to let them know a little bit more about it, or even, you know, maybe even read a little snippet of that one. But I really want you to talk about that one as well.
Okay, I will. When I sat down to write A Place for Ida, I really didn't. This is my debut. This is my baby, the first one I've written. And I really didn't know exactly where I was headed when I sat down to write. And I think, you know, most of us don't as authors. We kind of like create our characters and, you know, then go from there. And I'm one that just make up and write as I go along. I don't do any outlines or anything. I was born in South Carolina, so naturally I know a little bit about the South, but I was raised in New York. So that's why I chose the setting for A Place for Ida, because I remember, you know, some things about what went on there. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and read a little synopsis from it. And I don't think the synopsis will give the book the justice that it had. Would you say so, Tamika?
No, I wouldn't, because I didn't expect the book to be that good. So
nope. Okay.
I guess you could read like the synopsis, but she's right. It still doesn't give it justice, but I still would highly recommend, you know. But go ahead and read the synopsis. I'll be quiet.
Okay. A Place for Ida draws the reader into the life of a young black girl coming of age in the rural South of the 1960s. Abandoned by her parents, left to be raised by her grandmother, Ida grew up longing for touch and affection. Everyone was already telling her she was a heartbreaker, with the strong, shapely, muscular legs of a stallion. When she meets her first true love, Billy, the overwhelming passion she feels threatened to sweep her away. Ida must learn to master her turbulent emotions while living in a racist society that is in itself social upheaval. So.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that didn't do it justice. But if I can say A Place for Ida is realistic. I mean, you can kind of relate to her, and I liked her grandmother's values and what she stood for. I mean, and she was a strong character to me, and just I really want – I highly recommend for those who like dramatic fictions and very detailed, very well-written, good editing on the book as well. And, I mean, the book all around is pretty good for me, so I think that book really needs to be a hot seller. I mean, because I want a lot of people to read it because it was just that good. And then there's A Time for Jonathan, and that is a sequel to it. And A Time for Jonathan was definitely good, but I really was kind of angry with the ending. I'm not going to give it away, but that's just my...
I'm laughing because... I kind of like a twist on that, and I'm laughing because everyone says that, you know, it's like the book was so good, but, you know, the ending. They just loved it, though. They loved both of them, A Place for Ida, A Time for Jonathan, and I'm also getting really, really great ratings on Deeply Hidden Desires. So those are my three projects for right now that's completed. For 2009, I'm looking at... probably another dramatic book, which is called what we called A Lost Soul. And I'm going strictly changing my genre to something totally different, which is it's going to be called Where's God While Satan Is Knocking at My Door. So that's totally different for me.
Oh, say it again.
Where is God While Satan Is Knocking at My Door?
Wow. What is that one? Is that
a thriller?
It's a thriller?
I'm sorry? Yes, it's a thriller.
Oh, man, you are a great writer, so I'm looking forward to that one. Thank you.
I'm planning to get those two out, like, you know, that towards the end of 2009, very, very early part of 2010, maybe before then, God's willing.
Oh, so long. So you should have kept that to yourself then. You're going to be waiting that long.
You guys want to know what I'm working on. You know, I might get it out before then. I give you a shout out.
So besides for, you know, the two books that you're thinking about coming out on, what have you been doing recently? Like, where can people see you before you start, you know, the Artists of the Passion tours and even during?
Oh, I've been having, like, local book signings. I did have a local book release party for Deeply Hidden Desires back in October, which was really a good success. And I just do little, sometimes hand-to-hand friends, you know, my daughter, we go out and, you know, just market the book like that.
Oh, okay. And you did say in Hot Atlanta, right?
Hot Atlanta, honey. Yes, that's where I'm at.
You know, and that's going to be one of the areas that the tour group is going to be going to. And, I want to know, for the listeners out there as well, what was the reason for joining Artists with the Passion? What is your vision on, and why do you call yourself a passionate author?
Passionate because I try to write something that people can relate to. Not only do I want to give them a good read, but I also want to show some passion, something real is what I try to write. What was your second question? A third?
Oh, why do you consider yourself a passionate author?
Oh, I thought I just answered that.
So what was the other question?
Because I asked it again. It's because I try to write something that's real, that all of the readers can relate to, you know, in real life.
I asked two questions at once. I can't even remember what the other question was.
Okay, something about the reading. Wait a minute, the AAMBC group or the Passion group, or I don't remember either because I was busy talking about. Yeah.
That's all right. It'll probably come back to this because the book tour is called Authors of the Passion, and we try to have every author on the lineup to be passionate about what they do. And. And pretty much when I say passionate about it, I kind of get the feeling that the majority of passionate artists will put a little bit of themselves inside of their books, maybe not intentionally, maybe just a little bit. And so I'm kind of curious, how much of you are inside of your novel?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. As I said, I was born in South Carolina. So I would say the Christian character that's in the book was based on my grandmother. So I'd say about 15-20% of it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as with, especially with the Ironica book that's just out, I mean, how much of you are in there? Because, you know, I'm not like, I know.
But, Mika, that's not nice.
Personal experiences that Fisher has went through.
Yeah, I don't know, probably about 10 or 15% because, you know, as an author, I think all of us, and you can relate to this because you're an author, we have a tendency to write from experience, either something that you lived, something you read, or something you've seen. Correct?
Right. You're right. Because, I mean, I write from what I know. So.
Right. So, you know, of course, you know, we all know about sex and stuff, so I would say, you know, about 10-15%, maybe 20%.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely it has Deeply Hidden Desires made it to print.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's available, all of my books. I'm glad you asked that. They all are in soft cover, and they all are on ebook. Because I remember telling you about it being on ebook form.
Right, and I was telling you to let me know when you didn't even let me know. Let me know when it was I had made the print.
I'm sorry, yes. It hasn't been in print that long, though, maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, Miss Lee? I'm really excited to have you on tour, especially since, you know, you are becoming one of my favorite authors to read because I love your writing style. I love the stories. They're different. They stand out. I Place of Ida and Atonfa Jonathan, totally different reads from what I have read. And I mean, I think you're just an original writer. I think you're a great writer. I mean,
Thank you.
You started later on in your life, too, and I know that, you know, for this to be new, it has to be something that you really, really wanted to do. I mean, I'm so excited to meet you too, and I don't know, girl. I mean, I'm just ready to have fun, you know. So
yeah, me too. I am so excited about going on this tour. I can't tell you how much I am so excited because I know, as I said before, you know, there's strength in groups. There's strength, you know.
Mhm.
So you know, and we go out there as a group, you know, as a unit, and we're gonna do well. We're gonna show the world what great authors we really are.
Right, and the name speaks for itself. So all the listeners out there, we're gonna be hitting up a lot of different cities, and I'm going to go and do a run through for the cities in just a moment. But Patricia, before we conclude with you tonight, can you let everybody know what your personal website is and how they can contact you and things like that?
Okay. It's www.leapoffaithpublishing.com. On that site, they'll be able to order books. They should also be able to download any of the e-books. All of my soft cover books are available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and practically all of the online bookstores. And for the people that's in the Atlanta area, my books can be bought at Nubian Bookstore, at South Lake Mall, in Morrow.
Oh, okay. Sounds like a good bookstore. Okay, I'm taking notes. Well, Bridget, I should do thank you for calling in and, you know, telling us, everybody, about your books. And I hope that the listeners out there have been intrigued with what we have spoken about with your titles. And I'm really eager to meet you in person. And things. So I'm just ready for this to happen. And this next year is going to be a great year. 2009 is the year for Authors with the Passion, the 2009 lineup. And, you know, I'm just ready. So everybody, look out for Patricia on Artists with the Passion. First stop is in January 2009. We're going to run through the dates in just a moment. Thank you, Patricia, for calling in, and I will speak with you in later hours.
All right. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That was Patricia Richardson, and she's going to be on tour with Artists with the Passion. And just like I promised, I'm going to let you know some of the dates that we're going to be hitting up in some of the areas. We're going to be going to Fayetteville, North Carolina. We will be there from June 3rd to the 5th, and we're going to be doing different book signings at bookstores. And we're also going to be there for the co-organizer of Artists of Passion, Arthur India B. We're going to be there for her book release party as well. So we are really excited about being there in that area. Lots and lots of great people to go there and network with. Fayetteville and is a great city and not too far away from Durham and Raleigh. So if you're in those areas, go ahead and travel to Fayetteville and meet us there and get ready for some of our opening events. We're going to have an opening season dinner as well, and it's open to the public. So that's going to be one of our first events. In February, we will be in Alabama and Atlanta. And all these dates are going to be posted up on the website at artistswiththepassion.com. Click on tour dates, and you can also click on events to see what other things are going to be going on. But let's go ahead and connect with yet one of our other authors, who is on the line. They are also going to be joining us for the 2009 lineup. They are calling from air code 832. Who am I speaking with? Where are you calling from?
This is Cheryl Lacey Donovan, Tamika calling you from Houston, Texas. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing excellent. Hi, Cheryl. How you doing?
I'm just fine. All excited thing about this tour that's getting ready to come up.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Really, really excited. I know that we're definitely going to be doing a lot of new and different things. We want to bring a different kind of book group, because there are others, but there's nobody like artists with passion. So when you put a lot of passionate artists together and you create these different events in all these different cities to network with all these great readers who want to have an author reader contact, I mean, the sky's the limit. So you never know what's going to happen. So I'm going to stop yapping at the mouth. Everyone, this is Cheryl Lacey Donovan. She's a Christian inspirational author, and she also has her own show, Worth More Than Rubies. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Cheryl, so that you can let everybody know a little bit more about you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Tamika. Again, thank you for allowing me to be a part of the show this evening. And, you know, it's amazing the doors that can be opened up for you when you follow after God's design for your life. I had absolutely no idea, first of all, that I would ever even write a book, let alone having an internet radio talk show. We're working on trying to get it put on for cable television. I have an online magazine, and I travel all over the country now speaking to various groups about finding their true worth in God and things like that. So it's just amazing to me the journey that I've been on so far. And part of the reason for that is because of where I started out, because I was a teen mother. And as a teen mom, you know, it's very difficult. You know, you become a single mom and things like that. And it's hard for you to rear children and follow after passions and dreams and things like that. So when I talk about authors with a passion, and I heard you ask this question earlier, you know, what does it mean to be passionate, or what are you passionate about? My passion in particular is single mothers, because I want them to understand that their life does not have to be poor circumstances, poor circumstance after poor circumstance after poor circumstance. I want them to understand that the choices that they make are what ultimately determine where their life will be or what their outcome in life is going to be. So that's one of the reasons why I write the books that I write and the stories that I write, because I want them to recognize that their true worth is far better than where they are right now. Because a lot of times as women, we allow so many things to happen in our lives. And what we don't realize is that we're ultimately accountable for that. We teach other people how to treat us. And a lot of times we teach them how to treat us poorly. And that's something that we have to get out of. We have to get out of that mindset. You know, we're taught to be nurturers and things like that. But if we believe that we're ever going to change some of these people that cross our path and some of these people that we have relationships with, we are sadly mistaken, because the only way that they're going to change is if they change themselves. So I try to tell women everywhere I go that, you know, they need to take responsibility for their lives. They need to stop allowing the system to control them and to dictate what their lives are like. You know, I look at the children out there now and the things that they get into and this whole BET generation, and I recognize that, you know, ultimately, as mothers, we have a job to do, and that's something that we need to take very seriously and begin, you know, rearing our children in the way that we need to rear them, because there's a whole lost generation out there right now, and if we don't get a hold of them soon, we're going to continue to lose them to the streets, and that's something that I want us to stop doing. I want us to move forward and to be a proactive in our communities and to be proactive about the way we approach raising our children. And that's the reason that I wrote the book, The Ministry of Motherhood, which comes out in May of 2009. And that particular book talks about that, you know, my journey of being a teen mom. I was also a victim of domestic violence with my first husband, you know, what it was like being a single mom for many, many years, and you know, the uncertainty that has as a part of it, all of the setbacks that you deal with, all of the dreams that you have to defer and things like that, and the importance of being a mom. You know, I don't think mothers nowadays really understand how important their role really is when it comes to their children. And, you know, that's something that the Ministry of Motherhood is kind of trying to put back into place, is letting mothers understand how important they are, whether or not the dad is there or not. You know, it is time out for blaming everybody else for what's going on with the kids and blaming everybody else. Oh, well, you know, I could do this or I could have done that if my children's father had paid child support or whatever, you know. Those are excuses. You need to get off the pot, go get out there and do what you need to do to make a good life for yourself and your children, and that's really what the Ministry of Motherhood talks about. Now, my first book was Women, What the Hell Are You Thinking? And that book dealt with, you know, some of the issues I was talking about earlier. We go from the single sister, you know, feeling that for whatever reason, for societal reasons or whatever, that she has to be married to somebody. And that's not necessarily true. You know, when you're single, that's the perfect time in your life to learn who you are, learn whose you are, get closer with God, find out where you want to go in your life and that kind of thing. We talk about women that feel alone in their marriages. I talk about, how to be a virtuous woman and that kind of thing. And that particular book was actually self-published. I've also been involved in two different anthologies. One is The Triumph of My Soul, the actual title of the story in The Triumph of My Soul is The Ministry of Motherhood, and that's where the book was birthed from. And then also Gumbo for the Soul, Gumbo Soup for the Soul, which just recently came out, which is actually assisting in with adoptive families and things like that. Some of the proceeds from that will go towards an agency that works with adoptive families. So, you know, like I said, my passion is truly for women and trying to help women to overcome their poor circumstances, helping them to be accountable and responsible for the choices that they make so that they can improve their lives as well as the lives of their children.
Everything that you were saying makes perfect a lot of great sense, and I'm really excited that you did write on this topic because it relates to everybody. Everybody in their family knows someone who can relate to the Ministry of Motherhood, and I really want to know why you chose to talk on this particular topic. Did you have any personal experiences or someone that you knew that you took from example and it made you want to touch more base on this topic?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my mom was probably, she was probably the best mom anybody could have. Even when I became pregnant at 16, you know, she could have been like a lot of other moms and just put me out and said, you know what, you disappointed me, and, you know, I don't want to have anything else to do with you. You made your bed hard, now you lie in it, that kind of thing. But she was truly after God's own heart, as far as I'm concerned, as far as being a mother. And one of the things that she has said, you know, about that particular experience is that God is the ultimate parent. You know, he teaches us ultimately how to be parents for our children because of the way that he treats us. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that, you know, my mom has truly been in my corner. She has truly been an inspiration. And I try to model the way that I raised my children after the way that she raised us because, you know, having been that young, you know, according to society, the kids should have been in jail or dead, you know, as far as they were concerned. But I'm very proud to say now that I have two very well-mannered young men that I've raised. My oldest son is 25. He owns his own home. He is teaching in the local school district. He has a degree. My youngest son is actually working in a proprietary school here in the city of Houston. And, you know, saying that about African-American males right about now is something that a lot of people cannot say, particularly if they were single parents. So I have a lot of insight as far as that is concerned, particularly in the fact that I never was on welfare. As a matter of fact, it was probably the best thing that they could have done for me was to deny me welfare because it kept me from becoming complacent and it kept me from getting caught up in the cycle of poverty because I really believe that a lot of times that's what welfare does for women. It causes them to be in cyclical poverty, and it becomes a generational curse, and generation after generation after generation is on welfare, and they start developing that mindset, and then they start looking at it as a handout as opposed to a hand up. You know, and I don't want anyone to misunderstand, if you need it for a short-term period of time, then by all means, you do what you have to do for your children and to be able to make a better life for them. But it shouldn't be a situation where it is something that you use, you know, for the rest of your life. That's not what it was intended to do. And you know, I just really have a heart for getting out there and letting women know that and understand that, because it's nothing more powerful and more empowering when you can actually go out there and make the changes and make your own destiny. When you can go out there and you can work for yourself, or when you can go out there and go to school and you can see the fruits of your labor, there's nothing more empowering than that. And I think a lot of women are missing out on that as a result of constantly seeking after, you know, someone, you know, if it's not the welfare system, it's going after the husband for the child support, you know, and that kind of thing, and not really owning their own, destiny, so to speak. So, you know, like I said, my mom probably was my biggest inspiration in that particular aspect, but, you know, just trying to get out there and do what I can and let women know that they need to make some changes.
And a listener in the chat room, Sheila Lipsy, she has said that she can hear the passion in your voice as you were speaking, and like just instantly that hit me, where you're passionate about this book and you're passionate about what you do, and that's totally what Authors with the Passion is about. Keyword passion. And I just want to know, like, where does all this passion come from, and exactly how many books have you written? Because I don't know how long have you been out in, and mm-hmm. if it's just recently, why the sudden to go ahead and put out a book, you know, to have the passion for? Where did it all come from?
Well, the first book that I did, Women, What the Hell Are You Thinking, was done in May of 2007. The Triumph of My Soul came out in December of 2007. Gumbo for the Soul just recently came out. And then, like I said, Ministry of Motherhood is coming out in May of 2009. I happen to be a PK, or a preacher's kid, for those of you that are not familiar with that vernacular. And I think that serving people and having a passion to serve others is something that was instilled in me at a very early age. You know, seeing my father go to the hospitals and minister to people in hospitals, and, you know, doing the weddings and baptisms and going and, you know, serving people and having homeless ministries in the church and things like that is kind of where I developed that passion for other people. And, you know, my mom, bless her heart, she would probably give the shirt off of her back to anybody if they asked and they needed it. So this is something that has been set before me all of my life. And that's why it's so important for me when I go out and I talk to parents and to mothers in particular about this subject, because we have to teach our children by example. Our children, we're the best models of how they should be. And if we do it properly and if we're a good example before them, then they can emulate us, and it makes a total difference in their lives. So I had very, very good examples set before me that caused me to have a passion for people, period. I love people. I love being around people. I love doing for people. And anytime I have an opportunity to do so, I try to do what I can. So I guess the passion was sort of raised up in me, so to speak.
And so you have, like, all these other things that's going on. Not only you're a writer, but you do a lot of different things in your community, and then you have a lot of things that's going on your radio show. And tell us some of your other things that you're involved in and that you're doing.
We, in January, we will be starting Women Empowerment Summits here in the city of Houston. We're going to do them as some of them will be brunches, some of them will be lunches, and we'll be talking about various issues that women deal with, trying to help them to identify the tools and the resources that they can utilize to bring them to a better point in their lives. The first one that we're going to be doing, I believe, is it's called Single Mothers, Child Support and Welfare Are Not Your Source. You know, and it's basically trying to let them understand that if they're ultimately looking at someone here on earth to be their ultimate source, they're looking in the wrong place. God is your ultimate source, and that's what you need to be looking towards. And I can remember many times, you know, when I was dealing with my ex-husband and him not wanting to pay child support and that kind of thing, and, you know, I would pray all the time, God, make him pay child support. Make him pay for these kids that, you know, he helped to bring into this world. Make him do the right thing. And then at some point it finally came to me, why are you praying to me to make him to do something. You know, I am your ultimate source. You don't have to worry about him. He doesn't even need to be in the picture. You need to be seeking after me and doing the things that are of me, and then I'll make all of the other things happen for you. And that was such an epiphany for me. And from that point on, I understood that I didn't need to worry about getting the child support. I didn't need to worry about getting welfare or any of those other things. If God was my ultimate force, everything was going to fall into place the way that it should. And I'm a living testimony right now that it has always been like that for me, and that is the philosophy that I lead my life by. You know, he's the ultimate source. So, you know, I want women to recognize that and to stop looking at carnal things and things here as their sources and look to him to provide for them and for their children. And we just have a variety of different topics that we want to talk to them about as far as, again, how to parent their children in a godly way, how to deal with their teenagers. You know, teenagers can be truly a special sort of their own, helping them educationally, trying to help them find resources to go back to school if they choose to do so. If they want to start businesses, trying to help them to do that. So just turning this whole thing around, particularly in the African-American community. I know that, you know, problems exist in other communities and other cultures as well, but I'm African-American, so I'm starting with my community. And, you know, once I get my community together, then perhaps I can, you know, reach out to others as well. But, you know, just trying to do whatever I can. You know, I really believe that one person can make a difference, and trying to do what I can to make some changes. You know, everybody talks about the fact that Barack Obama has gotten into office, and I am truly, truly excited about that. That is such a historic thing. But if anybody believes that Barack Obama is going to be able to do something in the White House for us locally, they're sadly mistaken. The change is going to actually have to come from us. We're going to have to be about the change that we're seeking. So, you know, that was sort of a push for me to get out there and say, you know what, let me go ahead and do what I can to help make his job a little easier so that we can see some of these changes that we so desperately seek.
You're speaking the truth right now, because I've constantly told everybody that yeah, he's in office, and, you know, he quotes that he's going to make a change, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every single thing that you want is going to happen, and it doesn't mean he's going to be our savior or anything like that. It's just he's going to be the president. He's going to make choices that he feel is great for the country as a whole. And you definitely are speaking the truth right there, because if people just sit back and think that Obama's going to do it all, and they just sit back and do nothing, then they're mistaken. Just like you said, and you speaking the truth right there. And I like how you said that, and that you said that. And I'm not just like that, and you're speaking a lot of truth right now. So I want to also for you to tell everybody why you decided to join the tour group, Authors of Passion, and what do you expect from the readers when you start to meet them face-to-face?
Well, I actually talked to India B, and one of the things that really made me want to be a part of the tour was when she said that there would be ways for us to basically give back to the community. There would be things built into the tour itself that would allow us to be able to make some changes in the local communities that we visit. And for me, that's a huge, huge thing, because, you know, that's the only way that we're going to be able to bring ourselves out of the quagmire that we're in right now. You know, the whole economy thing, the financial situation. You know, when I look at, again, Barack Obama's campaign, and I think about the fact that he was able to raise all that money from $5 here, $25 there, $10 here. You know, I think about in our community in particular how much money we're just sitting on, just little small amounts. And if everybody would get out and just do little bitty things here and there to try to make a difference, we could see an entire huge turnaround in our particular communities almost instantaneously. But I think that it's going to take people like Authors with a Passion, you know, and others to get out there and actually start, you know, stop talking about it and start doing something toward making those things happen. You know, we talk a lot. We have a lot of radio shows and a lot of meetings and a lot of, you know, get-togethers and conferences and things like that, and we talk about the change, we talk about the issues, but rarely do we see people getting out there and actually trying to do something about those issues and actually making the change. So, you know, when I talked to her and she told me that, that's kind of what led me towards wanting to be a part of this particular tour. You know, and as far as, you know, again, I love people being able to get out amongst the people that are the readers of the book, you know, and not even so much the readers of the book, but just to get out there and talk to them about some of the things that I'm passionate about and to try to enlighten them and empower them, you know, inspire them, encourage them, you know, whatever little bit I can do to sort of light a fire under them to go out and pay it forward, you know, to try to go and help someone else. That's what I want to be able to do when we go out on tour.
Now, I'm really excited to get to meet you and to see some of the things that you do for yourself on an individual basis. I mean, because just speaking with you and just hearing you talk, and you have so much passion in your voice and the vision that you have and things that you want to do. I mean, I'm just really excited to get out there with you and network with you and visit these readers with you. I mean, we're putting all of our different genres together, all on one tour. Not everybody is different. Not everybody is the same. We're all different, and that's a major plus with Artists of the Passion, because you get a lot of variety, and you can buy an Urban Christian author book, or you can buy a dramatic book, you can buy a romance book, and I'm really anxious to just to meet you and to get on tour with you, and I'm just ready to do it, and I can't wait till January comes, because I know that's when everything's going to start, and I'm looking for 2009 to be the year. I really am, and I me and Debbie put this vision together, and I don't know, I'm ready for this vision just to blossom, and I'm really excited that all you guys are being a part of it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it, too. I just really think that it's going to be, you know, something very worthwhile, and I just hope that we can touch some people's lives to, you know, again, do something bigger and better with themselves and what they're doing right now.
Well, for sure, for those who have been listening to you or are interested in anything that you're doing as far as your radio show, some of your individual works that you've been working on, some of your events, let them know your website, any of your contact information that you would like for the readers to go visit.
Okay, yes. The website is www.CherylLaceyDonovan.com, and that's Cheryl with a C, and Lacey is spelled L-A-C-E-Y. So www.CherylLaceyDonovan.com, and they can find out all the information that they'd like to know. There's information there about the talk show that's on Blog Talk Radio every Saturday at 3 o'clock. There's also information on there about the internet television show that we're doing, as well as the online magazine. If any information that they need to know, they can go to CherylLaceyDonovan.com and find out about me. And if they want to email me, they can email me at Cheryl@CherylLaceyDonovan.com.
Well, Cheryl, again, I want to thank you for coming on, and I can't wait to meet you next year at the first event. I'm really excited. I don't know what's going to happen, and just not knowing is just keeping me over, just throwing me over the edge and just overly excited. And so, I don't know, I'm just ready to get started. So, again, I want to thank you for coming on, letting everybody know a little bit more about you, and like I said earlier, I will speak with you on a later hour. Thank you for coming on.
You're so welcome. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody. That was Cheryl Lacey Donovan. She is the author of The Ministry of Motherhood. She's going to be in the lineup for 2009. And like I said, some more events where we're going to be at. We're going to be going to the city of Chicago, and we should be there in March. And, of course, I would like for everybody to attend the Artists with the Passion Literary Cruise, which is going to be going on in April. We're going to take off in Miami, I believe, Miami, Florida, hit up Key West and Cozumel, Mexico, and we're going to have a day at sea. Every day is going to have an event. We're going to be having panel discussions, author giveaways, book signings, Of course, there's going to be more events on the cruise. It's going to be a great event for everyone, and I'm really excited for everyone that's also signed up to be on the cruise with Authors with a Passion, because it's going to be a lot more authors than just the 2009 lineup of the Authors with a Passion book tour group. So if you want to find more information about the literary tour, which you can still register for and claim a spot on the cruise ship, just go to our website, click on authorswithapassion.com, and click on tour dates, and you will see the Authors with a Passion Literary Cruise, and there will be a link where you can download the package. And all the information for to call in and to register and claim a spot is in that package. And I hope to see as many, many, many people there as possible, and including we're going to be having a large crowd from all the other attendees that would not know that we're going to be there just yet. A lot of them, when they do register, will find out, and some will not. And just the huge crowd there is going to be so wonderful and exciting for us, and this cruise is something we're looking to do every year, and so that's what we're going to be doing in April with the literary cruise. In May, we're going to be in Texas, in Houston, so we're going to be doing some events there, and we're going to be also be hitting up the D.C., Maryland area. We're going to be, like I said, hitting up Atlanta. We're also going to be doing a nice Authors with a Passion event in Virginia. So we have a lot of different places that we're going to be going to and meeting a lot of different authors, a lot of different cities and states. And so all of you listeners out there, if you're going to be in a city near us, definitely come on through and attend one of the events. Buy every book if you have to, and join our Authors with a Passion Yahoo group so that you can learn about all of the upcoming events. The Yahoo group is at groups.yahoo.com/group, without the S, /AWP Book Tours. And you can join that as well. You can also go to authorswithapassion.com, the very first page. At the very bottom, it will have the link to join the group. And so we're looking for everyone to join the group that wants to know any information about the book tours. So we're going to go ahead and connect with yet another author that's going to be on tour with us. His name is Reggie Daniels, and I'm really excited for you guys to get to know him as well. Reggie, if you can hear me, go ahead and say hello.
I'd like to say hello to everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to have this opportunity and this platform to just to share our different ideas and work and services to the people. And I'm just flattered to be a part of such a wonderful event. And I thank you, Tamika, and India B, and all of you who decided to make this happen.
Remember, I'm really interested in your, because your book title definitely gets people curious, wondering exactly what is this book about. It makes you want to pick it up and turn the pages and really dig into it. And go ahead, tell the listeners a little bit about your book. Really curious to hear from your point of view.
Okay, the title of my book is Getting Along with You Know Who, A Practical Approach to Relationship Building. And the title was one that was inspired by a guy, a publisher who actually turned me down maybe a couple of years ago with another piece of work that I worked on, which I have since put on the back burner. But he motivated me. He motivated me by telling me with that piece of work that it doesn't have mass appeal. It won't work. People won't get it. People won't buy it. The title is not worth picking up or whatever. And so I put it back on the shelf, and I thought to myself, man, what can I do? What type of book that I can deliver to the people that will have that mass appeal that publisher was saying and talking about? And so what it came to me that the title is just as important as the actual message, if the title is full of full of meat. And so it just come to me, getting along with you know who. And my passion, I heard you all talking about passion, and I'm thankful for Cheryl and her wonderful message and the services that she's bringing to the table as well. My passion is to see people gel together, get along together, happy, and just doing their thing together and just having a smile on their face. And so I came up with the title, Getting Along With You Know Who, because we all have that one person, no matter, it doesn't matter what environment we may find ourselves in, whether it's in our homes, whether it's at work, we have that one person that tends to get under our skin. So I wanted to put something in the hands of the readers that will help them in their everyday lives, be it on the job, in the community, and there's even you know who's in our churches, sadly to say. But I wanted to deliver a book to the people that will just help them to overcome what I call and what I deem these challenged relationships.
And you wanted to write a book on relationships. For those who are listening and wanting some more details about your book, let them know as far as why you wanted to write on this particular topic and what do you feel people will learn from your book.
Okay, well, the last, I would say, about 10 years or so, some people would come up to me, married, marital couples, just couples in general and people in general, and ask me questions, and I felt in reference to their relationships. And I always felt that the Lord had blessed me with the ability to help folk and to help them to get over certain situations. And when I would, at times when I talk with them, sometimes I don't even have a clue of what I'm going to say, but they always would seem to be walk away pleased and all. And so I thought I'd put some of this help in the form of a book to be able to help them in their relationships. Because what I found was that even Christians have trouble at times, even going to work and to just living just regular day by day in different environments. And so, and this is why we came up with this particular book, so that we can help others overcome the challenged relationships that they find themselves in, regardless of the environment they're in. And so it's going great. Just the title, like you said, I can just mention the title to people. And I had this one guy, he said that if you get you a good hook, it'll take you a long way. And so what I thought that the title itself would be a good hook and interest the reader to the point of picking up the book and ultimately buying it. And also the pitch, what I usually do for a pitch, and when I'm speaking to different groups, I would ask them basically a simple question when I'm pitching my book. I say, now, do you have or know of anyone or more people who tends to get on your nerves? And you'd be surprised. Every hand, usually when I ask that question or when I pitch that particular question, every hand in the building usually go up. And I would come do a follow-up and say, well, I have just the book for you. here it is, and you know, and I just pitch it in that way, and they just fly off the shelf. And so that's what I do. I don't just necessarily consider myself as selling a book, but I think ultimately authors, we bring just more than books to the table. We bring a service to the table, and this is what I bring to the table, and that's why I'm so flattered and honored to be a part of this tour, because of the, as you said before, there's a lot of diversity that the different authors bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I really want to know, where does your passion come from behind definitely with writing on relationship topics and pretty much trying to help people in areas that they may need more assistance in? Where does the passion come from?
I think the passion comes from, I just hate to see broken relationships in general. I think that all families should be strong. Now, we know realistically that every household is not going to have the husband, the wife, and the two kids and a boat out back and all. But
right.
That ultimately, I feel my calling, a great portion of my calling is to do all that I can to try to bring together relationships and couples and families and even relationships in the workplace. That's just my passion in this season. And this is why I wanted to do all that I can to try to make that call complete. And so what we've been doing workshops and seminars, relationship seminars and workshops, and they've just been phenomenal. The turnout's been great. Everybody comes out to find out what this you know who book is all about and all. And what I do within the book is I define the you know who's in our lives or in our various environments. For example, in chapter one, the subtitle is You Know Who Defined. And chapter two is You're Getting on My Last Nerve. And chapter three is When You Know Who is YOU. And because sometimes the you know who's in our lives may not be the who we think they are. We are actually the you know who's. And what I do in the book is try to help the individual to make it from day to day with the you know who's in their lives, and also help them if you know who is indeed YOU.
And so what are some things that you have been doing personally for yourself where people may be able to see you before the tour and even during?
Well, right now we have I'm having the works with the court, the local court system. We're about to launch an alternative sentence program here in this district. I used to volunteer at the Department of Corrections, the local prison, or the state prison here in Madison, and I used to go out and just to be of help and to try to instill some wisdom into the lives of these guys who made the mistakes in the past and all. And one of the assistant wardens offered me a position at that institution. And from there, everything just took off from there. I mean, I took an interest into helping others, trying to stay on the right side of the fence, if you will. And so I'm about to launch an alternative sentence program that will give the courts the option of sending the inmates through a program that will help instill the importance of being a good father, good man in the community, just a good person in general. And I also have a radio program, a weekly radio program that we're doing. And I'm also part of Marketplace Chaplains. And what they do is they're based out of Texas. And we're in about, I think, 40-plus states now. And a business would subcontract with us. And we would have or send a team of chaplains into that particular business. We work for small and large businesses. And we go in and we just be there and cater to the needs of the employees at that particular business. And that's just a part of the benefit or one of the benefits that the employees receive for being employed at that particular place of employment. And you'll be surprised how many people, are hurting. You know, they bring their hurts to the job and they take their hurts back home and they just walk around with a load on their shoulders and we're just there to be a help to them.
Now, for those who want to either contact you, look you up, or are curious and purchasing your book, let them know how they can contact you or where you will be at, some of your websites and links.
Sure. Okay. My website is www.divineinterceptions.com. That's divineinterceptions.com. And I can be reached at reggie@divineinterceptions.com. I also have a website, a MySpace page, and it is myspace.com/ broman, broman00290. And just feel free to contact me, and we'll be glad to correspond with you.
Now, Reggie, before we do end tonight, can you let everyone know why you decided to join Authors with a Passion, and what do you expect when you start to meet the readers face-to-face?
Well, I've been affiliated with a few projects in the past, but there was just something about the energy that you and India B bring to that have about you, that when I talk with you, I just noticed that there's a creative aura and an innovative spirit about you guys, and I just felt there's something special on this tour, and or about this tour, and I thought about it for a while, and I said, now this is something very special when you can get a team of good writers and take them around the nation and to be available and accessible to the people. This is something very special, and I wanted to use not only just be a part of the tour, but I made a declaration to myself that I wanted to help promote the other authors as much as I can. I'm a big believer that you will reap whatever you sow, and I believe that if I do all that I can to help promote you and India B and Cheryl and Patricia and all of the other authors as much as I can, then I believe that I will receive all that I deserve as a result.
Well, you know what, Reg, I'm really excited to get you on the tour with us next year, and I'm really eager to see how everybody will be drawn to getting along with who. I love the title of that book, honestly, and it pulls you in, and with the book cover, I like the book cover because it's so different, and I like it. I really like the book cover a lot, and it just draws you in. And I'm really excited to meet you next year and see how you are in person. Yeah, if you're just humble and nice, genuine guy, and you know, don't let me rub off on you a little bit, because you know.
I'm looking forward to it, and I believe in having fun and all, and I think that this will be a very exciting tour, just being with all of the authors and just being up there for the people, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Well, I'm excited too. If you guys can hear my voice, I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm always thinking of ideas, and I'm constantly thinking of more things to do for AWP and ANBC and all the other stuff. And I mean, it's just like I'm when I think of it, I put it into play, and I'm just really excited to get this started. It's like, oh man, come already, because this is the very first year. I'm excited about the new year, honestly. And, you know, this is the first year that I'm actually putting a lot of things that I said I was going to do into play, and I don't know, I just feel that 09 is going to be the year for us, and I just want to bring you guys along, have you guys involved in it, have us be a genuine family, just work together well, have a great chemistry, and, you know, I'm just ready. So, you know, I just can't wait to meet you next year, and thank you for joining Artists with the Passion, and I don't know, just get ready just to have fun and just to be out there and do something new and exciting and with all these different authors. So I want to thank you again, sir.
Okay, and thank you. Looking forward to it.
And we'll speak on later hour. And until then, have a great night.
Okay, same to you.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, we have spoken to Shirlacy Donovan, Renee Daniels, and Patricia Richardson. And if you didn't know, I myself will be on Authors of the Passion. I kind of mentioned it all during the show. And so if you were confused, yes, I am also going to be on a lineup as well. My book, The Ultimate No-No, will be out in February, early February. And I've gotten a lot of early great reviews as well. I'm having a couple people review the book as we speak, and so far I'm getting the five fingers, so I'm really excited about that. And the next showcase, part two, will be consisting of our second half of the artists are going to be coming on. We're going to have the co-creator, India B, come on. You guys are finally going to get to meet her, as everybody has been talking about her tonight, and you will get to know her and her vision behind the tour and what me and her have going on, and I'm really excited for you guys to get to meet her as well. So in DB, she will be here on the 11th, as well as with the other artists on Artists with the Passion, who are Anthony Maurice Brown, KL the writer, T. Nicole Robinson. I think I'm forgetting someone. I think that's it. Yes, I think that's all. And so all of them are going to be on the 11th. So make sure you tune in for part two so that you can meet all of the artists who are going to be Artists with the Passion. And the show will start at 7 p.m. Central. I do want to invite everyone back here tomorrow night when we do a show segment, How to Gain PR, with co-panelist Nakia Murray of Three Chicks on Late Radio Show and Dana Pittman of Nia Promotions. They're going to be on tomorrow night, and we're going to talk with them about helping you authors gain PR, how to market your books, and how to get out there and make yourself known. So definitely make sure you tune in tonight for our monthly panel discussion, and it's how to gain PR and how to market your book. Until then, everyone have yourself a great night. Again, Artists with the Passion Showcase Part 2 will air December 11th, 2008, of course, and it will be at 7 p.m. Until then, I will see you all on tomorrow night. Everyone be blessed. I'm going to leave you with some music by one of my favorite groups, Day 26. Everybody have a great night.
perfect vibes. I know this might sound crazy, but I don't know what I need to make you wanna leave. You think we've been here before? I say I'm sorry, you come back, I do it again, and then you pack. But girl, it's different now. Every time we headed out, you would go to the door. I chase behind you when I talk your back down to the floor. You said that you needed time. Could you get back to me and let me know how long you need? Cause I can't take it no more. Jerk. I know I made you hurt, and all your girlfriends was right. I got what I deserve. I know the last.